Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It's Friday, November 4th, 2022, and I'm here with you to continue our catechesis through the book of Genesis. Yes, it is a little dark out. I don't think it's raining at this point. I'm recording here from at home because I tried updating my computer at work and or at church, and it just isn't wanting to be updated. It's a 2015 computer, so 7 years later, things just don't quite work like they used to, apparently. So I'll have to troubleshoot that as best I can. For now, we'll just record here. All right. Let's see. Anything else? I don't think so. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right. Let's see. Memory verse for the week, right? Yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. I guess we say verse. That's what we usually do. Although I think most people just say John 3, 16, right? Oh, the translation is just slightly different enough that it is throwing me off there as well. That's okay. All right. Our psalm this week is Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of another god shall multiply, who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup, you hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my whole being rejoices, and my flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Okay, our catechism this week is the second article of the Creed. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right, our first reading is continuation from Romans. Again, remember we talked about Abraham being central figure in Romans, especially chapters 3 and 4, also Galatians chapter 4 with Hagar and Ishmael. So, so again, New Testament interprets Old Testament, right? So we'll listen to Paul's confession of what how to read the story of Abraham. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, that is by the doing of say circumcision, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. All right, there's much to consider in there, but particular to our readings today is verse 19. And being weak in faith, right, he laughs, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. There'd be no life coming from their body, which is why earlier Paul had said, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's the promise of Isaac, the seed, you see? And so Paul's assertion is that through this whole narrative, Abraham never, he never became unbelieving, right? But he only was seeking, like with the incident with Ishmael and Hagar, to fulfill the promise to be vocationally that God had given. Of course, it was not in God's way. All right. So further catechesis then. First we read the reading, Genesis 17. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house, or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Okay. I should have found an image here for the last part of the verses, huh? That would have been, I wonder if there's artwork depicting the circumcision of Abraham's whole household. Oh, that would have been quite the sight. Circumcision of Abraham household. Let's see. Oh yeah, there are pictures. Well, that's quite okay. You might want to Google that, or not if you're really into sorts that sort of thing. Goodness gracious. Okay. Anyway, to the reading. Let's go back to the beginning. God says to Abraham, as for Sarai, her name shall be changed to Sarah, right? So now that's God setting her apart for that special role in the promise, which was always been true, but now she too is getting a sign of the covenant, right? Promise for her with the name change. Sarah means princess, by the way. So rather than the father of many nations, Abraham, she gets named, you know, on behalf of what will come from her. Yeah, I did have the circumcision picture yesterday as well. Again, the Hebrew people, and actually the ancient world, they're not nearly as, what was the word I came up with yesterday? Prudish about such things, right? It's just simply part of life. What was the specific promise to Sarah? Right? I will bless her and I will give a son by her, and then I will bless her and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. All right? So very similar to Abraham's promise, right? How did Abraham react to the promise regarding Sarah? Indicating, I think, that he thought that the whole deal with Hagar was actually, you know, in keeping with faithfulness. He fell down and laughed. Oh, that's how you're going to keep the promise, God? Huh. Right? He fell down and laughed. And of course, on his face so that he could hide both his thoughts and his laughter. Good luck with that. Abraham, though, pleads that Ishmael might receive the blessing. Right? Ishmael might live before you. How did God make his point clear then in verse 19? Again, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, meaning he laughed. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him, right? The covenant is only going to be established through the son of Sarah, that is Isaac. But does that mean God disregards Ishmael? Actually, no, right? As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Verse 20, behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply, etc., etc. Right? He's already promised that to multiply Hagar's descendants. Now he repeats that promise to Abraham. And those key words there are be fruitful and multiply, right? So this is first article, not second article, first article gifts. Gifts that are given to all, irrespective of their faithfulness, just because God is creator and father and cares. Creator who cares for his creation. But there is a specific promise made about Ishmael. It's in verse 20 there. He shall beget 12 princes, 12 rulers, and become a great nation. All right, so that's pretty incredible. What did God announce about the birth of the son of the promise? It would be about that time next year, at the set time next year. All right, then Abraham's faith is revealed, as Paul confessed in Romans. So it's actually indicated here in Abraham's actions, both he and Ishmael, right? So Ishmael is a believer in the promise, notice. And all the males of the household were circumcised as a sign of the covenant promise of God to save his people from their sins, right? By the way, there was a question, well, what about Ishmael? Is he too saved? Well, of course he's saved. And then I was thinking, who are some of those 12 kings that come from Ishmael? One would be Moab, the king of Moab. Who comes from Moab that actually is part of Jesus' family lineage? Oh, yes, that would be Ruth. Okay. So, yes, he comes from many nations, for all nations. Has skipped my mind who was made mute because he didn't believe, because they were old. Yeah. So the New Testament compliments to Abraham and Sarah are Zechariah and Elizabeth. Very similar story in a lot of ways. Of course, that would not have been lost on them. Except Zechariah was a priest. Abraham was not. But infertility, barrenness, and faithfulness is a dynamic or a dialectic or some kind of dichotomy that is lived out throughout the Old Testament, because we have it again with Jacob and Rebekah. We have it again with, Isaac and Rebekah. We have it again with Jacob and Rachel. We have it again with, Zechariah and Elizabeth we mentioned. With Samuel's mother and father. I just lost her name. Hannah, right? And her husband, right? Who was also infertile. All right. But as far as infertility leading into old age and then a miraculous birth of a son, yes, Isaac and John the Baptist are corresponding figures in that way. And there actually are a lot of correspondences in their character. We'll talk about that another time. Good. Good question. Also, the whole household is circumcised as a sign of the promise. Notice, too, it was also those who were bought with money. I know this does bug us a little bit, that there's slavery. This is indentured servitude, right? So these are people who owe a debt, and they're working off that debt. The idea of being in debt to someone is not new. The idea that that would bring you into their household and that you would serve them until you had repaid the debt is also not new. This is not forced slavery, chattel slavery. That's a different thing. All right. But notice that the promise is for them too, even for the servant or slave in the house. Right. And this actually points forward to the purchase price of redemption. Right. Remember, like I mentioned Ruth, that her husband's property and assets needed to be redeemed or bought back because they became, they were given over to the nearest kin, the nearest heir, since he had no heirs. But they could be redeemed, that is, purchased back, in that case by Boaz. Right? Same thing here is that these people have been bought with money, but of course they're going to be saved in circumcision, pointing the sign of the coming promised son, who would redeem them not with gold or silver, but as we said in the second article, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. So we already have kind of a foreshadowing here of that in the form of slavery. If we don't actually understand or acknowledge the slavery of the Bible, then the language of redemption from slavery, from bondage, actually doesn't resonate with us either. It'd be kind of like talking about the forgiveness of sins without actually confessing that we are sinners. Well, what good would forgiveness be unless we actually need it, right? Same thing here. What good is being set free from bondage and slavery to sin unless we actually understand what that means? All right. So now there is finally no doubt that Sarah was to be the holy womb from which the promised son would come. God placed his name upon her by changing her name, even as he changes our name in holy baptism, when he brings us forth from the holy womb of the church through the font. The church can bring forth no life of her own, but through the preaching of the gospel, and she thereby is the mother of many nations. From the one son, Jesus Christ, a multitude of sons have come forth through the seed of the word that has been sown in the world. Though Abraham fell down and laughed in the weakness of his faith, the Lord repeated the promise of a son that through the gospel Abraham's faith might be strengthened. Isaac means laughter, which can be taken as a call to repentance, but it is also a confession of the joy that comes through the promised son. So now there is a new Isaac, Jesus, who calls us to repentance and faith in the forgiveness of sins. In him is the joyful gladness beyond all sadness. It's one of my favorite Christmas hymns. Not one that most people grew up singing, so unfortunately not one of your favorite. How's the end go? It starts that way. Let all gladness banish sadness, for our Christ has been born. Dun, 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 dun. Maybe we'll sing it around Christmas time. All right. Speaking of singing, let us sing our hymn for the week, Behold a Host. Thank you. All right, we'll hold up there. We actually have a commemoration today, so I want to make sure we have time for that. So let me cue that up. Oh, where did I put my device? Here it is. I'm at home, so I don't have all my normal resources. All right, let's see here. Pastor, that's me. Commemoration. There isn't one for the 4th of November? I thought there was. Oh, I might be confused. We probably could have sang more of the hymn. Oh, no, it's someone else's birthday that I have on the calendar. All right, one of my godchildren. Okay, well, we'll leave it there. Let's pray the collect for the week. Actually, let's pray the collect for the second article first. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in the second article of the Creed, you teach us that your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the greatest gift of your love for us. He is truly God, begotten of you from eternity, and he is truly man, born of the Virgin Mary. He has become our Lord and Savior by redeeming us from all sins, death, and from the power of the devil, with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. We no longer belong to the devil. Sin and death have no power over us. Jesus did all this that we may be his own, and that we might live under him in his kingdom. That we might live under him in his kingdom in the protection and safety of his everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness from all eternity. For all this that Jesus has done for us, we give you thanks and praise. Forgive us for trusting in any work of our own for salvation. Forgive us for doubting your love and your precious gift of forgiveness, which we have in Jesus. Grant us through the grace of your only begotten Son to believe with absolute confidence that our sins are forgiven and that we stand righteous before you for Jesus' sake, because he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, now we pray the collect. O Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace that we may be cleansed, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son. Oh no, am I getting way ahead of myself? Let's pray the theme for prayer. I'm sorry. Let's pray today for the preaching of the Holy Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it spread throughout the whole world, for the persecuted, and for the sick and dying. And let's pray also for Mason, who celebrates his birthday today, with Lydia and Amy, who celebrate their baptism, with Jackie, Mickey, Jeannie, Maureen, Renee, and Joan, and all the households of our church. Continue to pray in thanksgiving with AJ and Brenna, who celebrated the gift of marriage. Pray for our catechumens, Christian, Wyatt, Aaliyah, Lydia, Charlie, Kaylee, and Kimberly. Pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Marcella, Joe, Kelsey, Christopher, Dan, Brad, Ron, Marla, Betty, Pat, and Heidi. Pray for our homebound Bev, Willis, Ed, Mickey, Paul, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially the work of the Federowitz families. We pray in intercession for the preservation of the word and the increase of the church amongst us. And we pray for all those grieving, especially the family and friends of Dale. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right. Apologies for the hiccups there. It happens, right? It'll get a little bit out of order. Let's see. Today is Friday, so tomorrow you can join us 9 a.m. We'll continue our prayers, although on Saturday we will be looking at the Old Testament and Epistle for Sunday. I don't know what your pastor is going to preach because it won't be me. Pastor Gudmundsen is your substitute pastor. I'm going to be in Fort Wayne for the Good Shepherd Institute, which is for, it's a conference that deals with music and pastoral care, both of which are passions of mine. I think I've been to almost every, if I think I only missed one Good Shepherd Institute between 2005 and present. So what is that? 17 years. It's one of my favorite events of the year. And so I'll be there, and I'll also be capturing all the music events for their archives, maybe for future release someday. All right. So, but anyway, you can join us tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., and we'll pray together, and that will prepare you then to receive preaching in His Word on Sunday. All right. God's blessings on your day. We'll see you soon. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church Sermon Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.